local public radio station, 91.7 KALW San Francisco, presents Minds Over Matter. Dana Rodriguez, Will and Steve Rubenstein, and Jerry Nachman will match wits with listeners on the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Our telephone number is 415-841-4134 with your answers and questions here on Minds Over Matter.
You ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
Ladies and gentlemen, your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a wonderful weekend, and we'll give us an hour of your time tonight for our show, which after all is nothing without you, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we welcome your participation. That's very, very important. The number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, music, television, radio, and just about everything else. So again, 415-841-4134 with a question or answer. Sometimes it does it a little bit crowded toward the end of the show, so please give us a call as soon as you can, 415-841-4134. I do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, it's one word, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. We don't read the emails during the show, but over the course of the week, it's always great to hear from our listeners, so anytime you have something you want to add to the show or a comment or a question, feel free. It's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear our show online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the known world just by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And hopefully a podcast of the show will be up right after the show. So if you would like that, or a podcast of one of our older shows, likewise, go to kalw.org and they can help you with that. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. And here's the first. Jerry's looking at me. He's always so worried that I'm not going to read it right. Jerry Nachman can be spotted tooling about in his ripping new twee British racing green Mini Cooper, trying to figure out all the blasted buttons on the bloody dashboard.
Thank you. It's very well.
The dashboard's well not done. Bloody yet. In your next act,
Thank you. Excellent. Well, Steve Rubenstein, who admits to being born in Los Angeles, just spent a week there, but not all of it on the Santa Monica Freeway.
And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez's only offshore account was the €5 note he left in a Berlin hotel room safe. Was that before or after you swiped all the shampoo bottles in the bathroom?
That was after.
Okay.
Anyway, so that is us. And actually, Steve, why don't you introduce your son?
And we have a special guest who will be appearing a little bit later in conjunction with some of the questions that we're going to be asking. My son, Will, a music major at Oberlin Conservatory in Ohio, who will be playing a few tunes that will sound like this later on. All right, 20 years of music lessons. There we go.
So that number is 415-841-4134. We'll start with Jerry Nachman.
Okay. In 1982, what seven-year-old became Saturday Night Live's youngest host ever?
1982. Gary Coleman.
And shortest as well, I think.
I think it's Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, I knew you'd know that one. I almost recused you, but I hate to do that.
That's all right.
First question. All right. What food item comes in these sizes? Small, medium, large, extra large, jumbo, colossal, and super colossal.
Slurpees at 7-Eleven?
Nope.
Something at 7-Eleven.
No, actually.
Give the sizes once more.
What food item comes in these sizes? Small, medium, large, extra large, jumbo, colossal, super colossal.
Is this a prepared item?
No.
Is it a soft drink?
Okay.
No.
Somewhere. No, it's not a soft drink.
No, not a soft drink.
Sounds like something at Pete's, but no.
So it's nothing cooked, in other words?
No.
Okay. Super colossal.
I also almost didn't say food item, but I thought, well, give you a break.
Yeah. Okay. And
is it a food or a beverage?
Food.
Food.
That's two breaks.
Super colossal.
That's I don't think I've eaten anything super colossal.
Hmm. pizza?
Is that a pizza? Okay. No, that's a good guess.
All right.
No.
Okay, Steve, why don't you give a question?
All right. Well, today being the day after Bastille Day, these questions all have to do with La Belle France, and they are all, well, you'll get the idea. All right. We're in Paris now, and to visit this popular place in Paris, you walk down a flight of stairs near the Pont d'Alma. To visit this popular place, you walk down a flight of stairs near the Pont d'Alma.
Near the what?
That's a bridge.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's 20 years of French lessons there.
Not me.
I think he got more out of his horn lessons.
There you
go. All right, okay.
All right, we'll leave that one open. All
you
right,
go down 20 stairs and...
You go down a flight of stairs.
And what do you find there, right?
That's the river. That's the question.
Is it somebody's tomb?
Is it the Seine?
The Seine?
The Seine River, yes.
No, it's not the Seine.
Well, you said it was by a bridge, and
it
you
is.
Went down steps.
Yes, but that's not the answer.
Is it a grave site?
It's a tourist attraction. All right?
Oh. Is it somebody's, you know...
No, it is not a grave site. We'll leave that one open.
All right.
Okay, now everyone knows in Paris they're cheaper if you buy them 10 at a time. 10 at a time.
Croissants.
No. All right. Here's the next one. That's two.
Give us
You're
a
striking
shot.
Out here, Jerry.
Give us a shot at that one.
You had your shot.
Well, Jerry didn't try that
You're
one.
You're stalling.
Did you have an answer?
No, he's running ahead.
Of course he doesn't have an answer.
Whoa, slow down. Okay, 10 at a time.
10 at a time.
Something you buy. Is it a food item?
No. That's a good question, though.
Yeah.
The answer is no.
Okay. Is it something you wear?
10 How at many time. Freebies do you want?
Well, two would be
gratuit.
Good.
10 at a time. Okay. All right. Give us one more.
Okay.
Just one little question.
It better be a little question.
Is it something that's distinctively, is it indigenous to France?
Indigenous to France.
Yeah.
Is that your friend? Another French pronunciation?
Let's put it this way. Is it quintessentially French?
No.
That's what I mean.
Not particularly.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. All right.
You can buy wine at this French version, although you still cannot buy it at the original version.
Wait a minute.
You can buy wine at this French version, although you still cannot buy it at the original
McDonald's.
Version. No. Not McDonald's.
Oh, it's not McDonald's.
Why wouldn't you buy it at the original?
Le Burger King.
No.
Hey, Jacques in the box.
Yeah. No. All right. I'll give you one more French question. You're
Kentucky
0 for
fried
3,
poulet.
Gentlemen. Yes.
What? Well, you've got four questions already. How many are you going
to... This is the fourth.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like your list of 10 best ones that go on forever. All right, here we go. Okay, this is the house specialty at the world-famous Tour d'Argent restaurant, and with each one of them... That you order, you get a certificate bearing the number.
It's a duck.
It is a duck.
Canard.
Duck. It's a pressed duck.
Le canard. Okay.
All right, duck.
I was there and I had one.
You had a duck?
I got a number.
What was the number of your duck?
78. I was very, very early.
Interesting.
All right. So we're still looking for the tourist attraction you find when you walk down a flight of stairs near the Pont d'Alma. We're looking for the thing that you is cheaper if you buy them 10 at a time, a particular item that everybody goes to.
But it's not a food item.
It is not a food item.
All right.
And you buy wine at this French version, although you still cannot buy it at the original version, the original American version.
All right.
Did you answer the question, is it quintessentially French?
He said no.
On the 10 item?
No. Yeah.
He said no.
It's not particularly French, no.
Okay.
Although the Republicans would like you to think it is.
Okay. Mm.
Republicans. Something political.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Sandra in West Portal.
Hi, Sandra.
And I think the super colossal food is olives.
Very good.
Excellent.
Olives. Excellent.
And I have another guess, too. I think if you walk down a flight of stairs, you go into the sewer museum.
Yes, it's the sewer tour in Paris. Very popular.
Yes, it was.
I took it once. That sufficed.
Yes.
Is there a cover charge?
No, just a plain charge.
Very good.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Olives, yes.
Let's see here.
I don't know what a super colossal olive, how big that is.
All right, two questions. What is the most photographed statue in the world?
Venus de Milo.
No.
Statue of Liberty.
No. It is obviously a famous statue, and we all know about it.
David.
No. What is the most photographed statue in the world?
Mount Rushmore.
No.
That's not a statue.
I'm stopping you at two guesses.
Okay, I got one more.
All right, you have one more.
Statue. Willie Mays outside AT&T.
No, I know you'd like to think that, but no. So again, this is, what is the most photographed statue in the world? And second question, what is the oldest non-food product trademark character in the United States? What is the oldest non-food product trademark character? You know, like Quaker Oats.
Yeah. Non-food item.
Yeah, non-food.
Oh, boy.
Oh, is it?
It is one that you'd be very familiar with.
Bonami cleanser?
That's an excellent guess. That's an a old, very old good company. Guess, yeah. And that's number two.
Oh, number two.
Yeah.
Wow.
See?
So that's very good.
Okay.
But no.
Jeez, I don't know. Buster Brown shoes.
No.
I don't know.
What is the oldest non-food product trademark character in the United States? I believe it's 1867.
I think you asked something similar to this, but...
But that was the food product.
That's right, it was salt.
Yeah, it wasn't salt, but...
Okay, I forgot. Okay.
Yes. Right. So once more, what is the oldest non-food product trademark character in the U.S.?
S.O. Tiger.
No.
No.
1867. And what is the most photographed statue in the world? The number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Sandy in a car.
Hi, Sandy in a car.
We're just coming back from the San Francisco Silent Film Festival.
Oh.
And I have to give a shout out for it. Boy, if you didn't go, you don't know what you missed.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that comes in a package of 10, that would be a cornet of... And I started to, when I thought of it, I said BART tickets, but it's Metro tickets.
Metro tickets, subway tickets, yes.
Oh, good.
Good job.
What silent movie did you see?
Well, let's see. Friday night, we saw a terrific Clara Bow film.
Man Trap, yeah. Right.
Man Trap and the beautiful, the wonderful lie of Nina Petrovna. Mm-hmm. And today, we had a long day. The Mark of Zorro.
Wow.
Douglas Fairbanks.
Eroticon, Stella Dallas, which had the audience in tears.
Oh, Belle Baker, right?
Yes.
Very Belle good. Baker. Well, that's a big day.
Belle Baker and Ronald Coleman. Yeah.
And a very, very young Douglas Fairbanks Jr.
Oh,
yeah. We got to say Daddy in the morning and Junior at night.
Great.
Wow. Really scored.
Yeah.
Big day.
Now, I think was there one other French question?
There was. You can buy wine at the French version, but you can't buy it at the original American version.
Well, I have two thoughts on that, and that would be Woolworths or Walmart.
No, not correct.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks a lot.
Well, thanks a lot to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, hi. Well, it appears that Olive was already answered.
Yes.
Can I just ask you a question that I don't know the answer to that maybe you could answer or someone...
Sure. Go ahead. What do you...
I've been trying to think of this for a long time. I guess I thought it was a Twilight Zone episode, but the climax of it had to do with babies being found not to have lifelines on their palms, and there's sort of a sense of impending doom because of that.
Oh, you mean sort of the end of the world kind of thing?
Yeah, something like that. And I just wonder if someone might, if that rings a bell with anybody.
I'm checking my palm right now.
It doesn't with me, but we'll be happy to leave it out, and maybe somebody will call in.
That would be great.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panelist tonight is author Jerry Nachman. His last book is Ed Sullivan. Not his last book forever, but the last book he wrote was
could be.
Was right here in our stage tonight, Ed Sullivan's America. still available in some bookstores and online. And, of course, Steve Rubenstein, who's a teacher and a writer in San Francisco, and his son, Will, who's a student at Oberlin College. And, of course, my name is Dana Rodriguez. I'm the moderator, and the number to join us is 415-841-4134. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
It's Jefferson in San Francisco.
Hello.
Let's see. Wine at the French version and not at the original American version. Would that be Disneyland?
Yes.
Oh,
Disneyland Paris,
okay.
Yes.
Good job.
Very good.
They're so sophisticated.
Absolutely.
Let's see here. Maybe I'll toss a question out for you guys. It's Woody Guthrie's 100th anniversary or birthday celebrations going on this weekend. As close as you can get, how many songs is Woody Guthrie estimated with writing?
Well, he wrote hundreds.
Hundreds at least, yeah. It's hard to say. They all write a lot, but...
And he wrote a lot of children's songs, too.
He did, yeah.
So...
Sure. I'll give you within 10% from the best sources I can get.
850.
Mm. I'm sure it's more than that.
Could be.
It was. He scribbled it.
Well, they write a lot of songs that never get published, so yeah. It's hard to really guess, but...
Was 850 high or low?
It was low.
Okay. In that case, how about 2,100?
High.
All right.
1,500.
I think Sherry would be the closest there.
Of course.
I think the best horses I can find tend to round it up to about 1,000.
Okay. Almost 10%.
All right. Okay.
So there you go. Yeah, pretty close.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Jerry's going to sing about a half of them, but right now.
No.
I love that song. Yeah.
And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, what character in Through the Looking Glass is a self-portrait of the author Lewis Carroll?
You mean a physical self-portrait?
Well, yeah. A drawing.
All right.
I mean, it looks like him.
And Through the Looking Glass, I'll give you Alice in Wonderland.
Through the Looking Glass. I'll give you two guesses each.
I'm very familiar with that book, but...
One of the chess pieces?
I can't say.
You could say. You're not going to say.
Huh. Is this a major character?
I'm not saying. Playing hardball here today.
The White King.
You know, I was kind of thinking of those terms, too.
The White King? No.
It's not the Red King, is it?
No.
One
more each.
No idea.
It's not the the caterpillar.
No.
See, I said it wasn't the caterpillar.
You're right. It wasn't.
All right.
I don't know.
No.
Could you read that once more?
Okay. What character in Through the Looking Glass is a self-portrait of the author Lewis Carroll? Yeah, self-portrait means he drew it, but of course...
John Tenniel
was the illustrator, so... Okay, we had your two, so let the audience... As he would say, let's let the audience...
It's running a tight ship here.
Yeah.
Well, no, okay, you can... well, you're eventually going to get it through, is it?
Well, no, there are many, many, many characters.
Are there that many? I don't know there are that many. Okay.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Jennifer calling from Emeryville.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. So someone already guessed the two French questions, but I was wondering, as far as the most photographed statue in the world, has anyone answered that one?
No.
Nobody's answered it yet.
Okay, two, and this is a statue, not a sculpture in a museum?
It is true. It is not in a museum.
Okay, would that be the Sphinx?
No, it's not the Sphinx.
How about the statue of Abraham Lincoln in Washington, D.C.?
Also very good, but
good
no.
Good guess, yeah.
No.
Okay, and as far as the Lewis Carroll question, would that be the Mad Hatter?
No, it would not.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
It's the Mad Hatter in...
No, it's Alice in Wonderland was the Mad Hatter.
Yeah, he's not in, too.
Well, he was clean-shaven, Lewis Carroll, so...
Okay.
So the character would have to be clean, or if it was really...
Good logic, yeah.
So...
Was it an animal or a human likeness?
No guesses.
No guesses?
No.
All right. Okay.
He was a major character.
A major character.
Yeah. Major character.
All right.
Let me guess on the statue. How about the lions outside the main library in New York?
No.
Okay.
And see, you wouldn't let me take another guess on Lewis Carroll, but I keep letting you take guesses on my questions.
Is the statue in the United States?
No, it is not.
Oh.
No, it is not.
That's a long O.
Of course.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there.
Hi.
This is Sherry and Stephen in Berkeley.
Hi.
And I was a few calls too late for Disneyland. Did anyone guess the 10 by 10? Cheaper at 10?
Yeah, somebody did say that it was subway tickets.
The Metro. Okay, yeah, Metro, well, tickets. So I missed that one. And then I'm going to make a stab at the statue of the little peeing boy in Brussels.
That's an excellent guess, but no.
Okay, thanks. Love the show.
Oh, thank you.
How about the, in I guess it's Copenhagen, the
mermaid.
Woman on the rock, the mermaid on the rock?
That's correct.
The mermaid.
See, I let you shouldn't have taken that guess, by the way.
Well,
you said woman on the rock. I said mermaid.
Yeah, all right.
Mermaid. Okay.
All right.
Which one's more correct?
Yes, it's the Little Mermaid in Copenhagen.
Is it called the Little Mermaid?
I'm much too lax with you.
Well, I've given you two or three extra.
Yes, it is the Little Mermaid. That is the most photographed statue in the world.
So hasty, give me one.
Yes. And Steve, it is your turn.
All right. Well, here's a musical, French-related musical questions. This first one, I'm not looking for the name of the piece, which is I Wish You Love. I want to know the movie that it was the theme song. It was a Truffaut movie. I want you to tell me. Here's the tune to refresh your memory. Song stylings of Will Rubinstein.
Stolen trumpet. Kisses?
Yes, Stolen Kisses.
Good job.
Excellent. Okay. Try this one. The hero had his restaurant shut down after this tune was played. Jerry and Dana are both ineligible for answering that question. The hero had his restaurant shut down. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's in this science fiction comedy, this tune was heard twice, once from a carousel and once at a party. Okay, we're looking for the movie that in...
The tune?
Yeah. What's the tune? The number one song of 1927, Ain't She Sweet.
Oh, Ain't She Sweet, okay.
Ain't She Sweet.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Aren't you related to that by blood?
That's another question for another time,
right.
Dana. And let's just see if you can come up with the name of this one. I'll give you a hint. We're about 3 months behind.
Well, wait, before you do that, what was the question?
The question of the last one, the tune was Ain't She Sweet.
Yeah.
In what science fiction comedy was that tune heard twice, once played from a Parisian carousel and once at a Parisian party?
Science fiction.
Science fiction comedy.
Really.
And here is the last tune is about, we are about, give you a hint on the title of this one. It's about 3 months behind the times.
It's April in Paris, but
is that all you want?
That's all I want.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd love to hear it again.
Very nice, Will. Sci-fi comedy. I can't even think of any. Oh, I can think of one. Oh, no.
Sci-fi comedy set in Paris.
Set in Paris.
Yeah.
I would think you would nail that.
Or at
right
least part of it.
Right away. That's
I would think you would.
Narrows
I'm
it
a little
down.
Weak on sci-fi comedies.
But how many sci-fi comedies set in Paris are there?
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter at 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, I can't believe it. About this most photograph sculpture?
Yes, a statue.
Statue, sorry. Would it be Rodin, the thinker?
It is not. Jerry blundered into the right answer a minute ago. It was the Little Mermaid in Copenhagen.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't have known. Thank you for your program. It's terrific.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'm Judy in San Francisco.
Thanks. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Can I make another guess on the old trademark?
No, you may not. And next call.
He's angry.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
Well, I got scooped on The Little Mermaid, but I do have another guess.
Okay.
The Marseillaise closed Rick's Café Américain in Casablanca.
Yes, it did.
Very good.
Good. All right.
And the question.
Yes.
You may not know it in San Francisco, but we are now in the dog days of summer. Why are they dog days?
Good question. I thought of that myself, but I didn't look it up.
Dog days.
Sounds like a Shakespearean line. Is it Shakespeare, from Shakespeare?
Much earlier.
Oh, really?
Much earlier.
It's from the Bible?
No.
No.
Is it Chaucer?
No, much earlier.
Earlier than Chaucer.
Beowulf. Right?
So, okay.
Dies Canicularis.
Oh, Latin.
What was that clue?
It's because of the dog star?
Yes.
Oh. Sirius?
Yes, Sirius.
Yeah. Sirius, the dog star.
Ah.
Yeah.
Rises with the sun.
Right.
In that part of the year, and the ancients thought that caused the heat.
Okay.
Well, I wasn't around then, I wouldn't know.
All right.
Very good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Okay. So I'm going to give you a list of actors who played roles based on comic strips. Okay? They played roles that are based on a comic strip. And you tell me which one it is. Number one, Jerry Lewis. Number two, Marion Davies. Number three, Robert Wagner.
Wagner?
Yeah. Number four, Mary Pickford. Oof. Number five, Brooke Shields.
Oh, wow.
Number six, this is very editorial. Oh, I get a huffing and puffing on each one. Number six, Billy Zane.
Who?
Billy Zane.
Who's that?
It's out of your purview, I guess.
Yeah.
Number seven, Monica Vitti.
Ooh. Holy gee.
Yeah.
Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, so again, these are actors who played roles based on comic strip characters. Number one, Jerry Lewis. Number two, Marion Davies. Number three, Robert Wagner. Number four, Mary Pickford. Number five, Brooke Shields. Number six, Billy Zane. Number seven, Monica Vitti.
Dick Tracy.
Dick Tracy isn't any of them.
Now that's Warren Beatty. Yeah. Jerry Lewis, gosh. He was a comic strip character.
Yeah.
Little Orphan Annie.
None of them are Little Orphan Annie. You have to match them up.
Shields.
Right? I don't. You didn't say that.
Yeah, that's what I want you to do.
Shields, I would guess, you know, Wonder Woman, but I'm sure that's...
Not Wonder Woman.
If that was, what's her name? Linda Carter.
Yeah.
On TV, anyway. Okay, Monica Vitti.
Who was
Mary Pickford. Probably very early.
Was one of them a Catwoman?
None of them were Catwoman.
That's what's her name?
Julie Newmar.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there are about seven.
And these are feature films. That was for television. Oh, I think she was
Wagner
in the Batman.
Wagner must have been sort of a Prince Valiant character.
Yes, he was Prince Valiant.
But Prince Valiant. How about that?
There you go.
Okay.
It was luckier than The Little Mermaid.
Mary Pickford. Let me see. Let me guess Mary Pickford.
Prince Valiant.
And they're all well-known comic strips.
Roughly, yeah.
Roughly.
Well, I think only one is probably lesser known. The rest are pretty well known.
Yeah. Okay. Marion Davies.
Yeah. You would know the name. I mean, this doesn't... Marion Davies one doesn't run anymore, but it was a big strip at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Oh, this is Robert in Berkeley. I have a quick guess in one of your comic book roles was Billy Zane, Dr. Atomic, in a film whose name I can't remember.
No, I know what you're talking about, but this is the one where he was actually the lead character.
So. Oh, that's a pretty important character in that film.
Well, I guess that's
I may
true.
Be wrong about the actor. Well, let's move on to my question, which is both historical and musical, but has something to do with Woody Guthrie. It has to do with the 50th anniversary of an event that was pretty major for changing the way the world works. But the question has to do with a song which was composed in connection with that event, which became the first single by a British band to reach number one on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. So the hint is that this song was the first British band single hit 50 years ago in 1962. But the question is, what event did it commemorate, or what was the name of the song, which is the same? And if you know, what was the name of the group?
And the event took place in 62, or just the recording?
The event and the recording are both 50 years old last week.
Okay.
62. Is this...
Was the Cuban Missile Crisis.
That was...
62.
That was in 62. October, I think, so no.
Is this the Dave Clark 5?
No.
Okay. 62. I was thinking like Ferry Cross the Mersey or something like that.
Was it a disaster, a man-made disaster, or like the...
No, it was more of an accomplishment.
Was it space-related?
Yes.
Alan Shepard or Yuri, John Glenn?
No.
So it was the next, 62. The one after after John Glenn.
Buzz Aldrin.
Yuri Gagarin.
No. Well, you can kind of keep guessing along those lines, but it didn't have to do with manned launch. But now I've just given it away.
So is it?
Wasn't manned launch?
Right.
It was the monkey. It was no.
No.
The satellite.
Oh, was the satellite?
Echo. The Sputnik.
Telstar.
Okay. What was the connection with the music?
Wow.
Oh boy.
I saw that on the Woody Guthrie show.
No. I seem to remember it was a guitar instrumental.
Yeah, I don't really know. You've got most of the way there. The name of the group is the Tornadoes. Not one that I'm familiar with myself. And the title of the song was Telstar. And that really was a big deal because it was the beginning of the kind of communication system that we take for granted today.
Right. Thank you very much.
You mean yelling at each other?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, here's a small bell for us. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
It's Kevin in Los Angeles.
Hey, Kevin.
I'm going to take a couple of the comic book guesses on the comic book character movies. Billy Zane was the Phantom in the horrible movie The Phantom.
That's correct. The horrible movie, yes. That wasn't part of the title. It was just a horrible movie.
And Brooke Shields was Brenda Starr in the horrible movie Brenda Starr.
Oh, yes.
Brenda Starr.
Very good.
Okay,
so a couple questions for you. Mm-hmm. What was the site of the only fatalities in World War II in the mainland United States? What city?
Oh, it was up in the... It was the coast. Wasn't it on the Pacific coast someplace? It was the Japanese... They sent over something like a bomb by balloon, or maybe they used a submarine to blast
something off the coast.
Something like San Diego,
San Diego,
Santa Barbara. Yeah,
it is a coastal state, but it's not San Diego.
Okay, was it Oregon?
It is in Oregon.
Yeah, it was. It was something for it dropped from a balloon, I think, or some sort of something like that. Am I wrong?
It's called a balloon bomb.
Okay,
and Bly isn't on the coast, somewhere in Oregon. And some picnickers found it, and they were pulling it out of the woods or out of a forest, and it went off. It killed six of them.
Mm. Okay.
Okay, so my other question is, what is the last name of the shipwrecked family in the novel by Johann David Weiss?
Robinson?
Robinson. Except
yeah.
It's not Robinson.
Swiss either. Family Robinson, yeah.
No, it's not Robinson.
It's not Robinson. I knew there was, okay.
Well, who were the Swiss Family Robinson then?
The original title when he wrote it, was Swiss Robinson Crusoe family.
Right.
Oh, oh really?
Right, right, right. Robinson. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a trick question.
It's a trick question. Vice is their real name.
No.
No, I don't know. I'm sorry.
They don't have one.
Oh, they really don't, after all? Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, not a novel. Okay, that's it for me. Thank you all.
Oh, thanks, Kevin.
Did Mary Pickford play Blondie by any chance?
No, she did not.
Okay.
And we are about halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Jerry?
Okay, what character in Through the Looking Glass is a self-portrait of the author Lewis Carroll? And that's all.
And we are still looking for the name of the science fiction comedy in which the song Ain't She Sweet, the French-related science fiction comedy in which the tune Ain't She Sweet was performed twice, once by a carousel and once at a party in Paris.
French.
Okay. French science fiction comedy is a little tricky, but it's actually accurate.
It's... Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
If Dana doesn't know, nobody knows.
Is this one that came out maybe 10 years ago, or is it that new?
It did not come out 10 years ago.
Okay. All right. And what is the oldest non-food product trademark character in the United States from 1867? What is the oldest non-food product trademark character in the U.S.?
Is it a transportation-related character?
It is not transportation-related. And I give you a list of actors who played roles based on comic strips. We have a few left. Jerry Lewis, Marion Davies, Mary Pickford, and Monica Vitti. They all played roles based on comic strips. What role was that? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Lorraine in San Francisco.
Hi, Lorraine.
I wanted to guess for Marion Davies. I don't know why, but Dick Tracy.
Not Dick Tracy.
Not in the series, I mean.
Right, no.
Okay. The other was the trademark. That would be the Morton Salt or Sears and Roebuck.
That's pretty old, but no, it's not the oldest.
Non-edible, he said.
And I did say non-edible, that's true.
Oh, did you get the question for the restaurant that was shut down?
Yes.
I didn't get to hear the answer.
What was the answer to that?
Well, Rick's Cafe. Rick's American Cafe.
Rick's Cafe in Casablanca.
Yeah, American.
That was my guess, too. Terrific. Yeah. Thank you. Love your show.
Oh, thank you. All right, Steve, it's your turn.
You mean outstanding questions? Oh, I already gave you the outstanding question. All right, well, we've got one or two more French-related questions. We're looking for the movie titles here. And this 1975 film set in France, the hero becomes a heroin addict.
That's the French Connection.
No, it's not the French Connection. In this 1995 film, a jewel thief falls in love with a doctor's fiancé.
It's the French Connection 2.
It's the French Connection 2.
Yes.
Yeah. But that was... In this 1995 film, a jewel thief falls in love with a doctor's fiancé. And how about this one? The screenplay for this 1981 tale of obsession was written by Harold Pinter. You should know that.
Say that again?
The screenplay for this 1981 tale of obsession was written by Harold Pinter.
Oh, yeah.
Pinter.
The Servant?
No. That's your guess.
Is it Damage?
No.
That was later.
That's your guess.
It's 80s.
All right, so we're looking for the 1995 film in which a jewel thief falls in love with a doctor's fiancé. And we're looking for the name of the movie, the screenplay for this 1981 tale of obsession was written by Harold Pinter.
And
both French-related.
The number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter, here every Sunday at 7 p.m. at 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Linda Nelsarito.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. The last movie that Steve mentioned, the Harold Pinter movie, that was a death trap, was it?
No, it was not.
Okay. All right. I have a question for you guys. It's about a word that you hear all the time. In fact, I just read it today in connection with the founder of Yelp.com, a 34-year-old guy who's worth about $150 million, and they referred to him as a nerd. So what is the origin of the word nerd?
Nerd.
Isn't that from Dr. Seuss?
Oh, yes. You got it immediately.
But I'm not sure I remember which
well,
it's from.
I think that's pretty bell-worthy myself. Yes.
Thank
that's
you.
Wonderful.
That's
wonderful. It's
advice.
From If I Ran the Zoo in 1950. So it goes way back. And I can try to read the sentence that it's from.
Oh, please.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's about a boy named Gerald McGrew. I haven't read it myself, I have to say. It's about a boy named Gerald McGrew who thinks that the animals in the zoo are not good enough. So he says he would replace them. He would go and find much more interesting animals. And he says, and then just to show them, I'll sail to Katru and bring back an Itcut, Kutch, a Preep, and a Prue, a Nurkle, a Nerd, and a seersucker, too.
Okay.
Not great reading. But
oh, that was well done.
You get the idea.
You pronounced them all correctly.
All right. Thanks a lot, Linda.
Okay, thank
all
you. Right.
I wonder if he stole that from the great character Mortimer Snerd, which was before that. He had,
I don't know.
The dumb character.
That was
dumb
Edgar Bergen's dummy.
Yeah, the dumb one, yeah.
Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Lisa from San Francisco.
Hi, Lisa.
And I just wanted to take a stab at the Jerry Lewis cartoon character, Beetle Bailey.
No, not Beetle Bailey. You're kind of on the right track, but not Beetle Bailey.
Okay.
Good try, though, yeah.
Okay.
So it was a military character?
Thank you.
Yeah.
A military character?
I'm not going any further.
Sad sack. I don't know.
Yes,
Sad Sack.
Sad Sack.
Yes. Very good.
Thank
yes.
you.
Yes, yes.
That bell was for me, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, Sad Sack.
My first.
Okay. Who was the first Best Actor Academy Award winner to have a regular network television show?
Oh, boy.
This is after this person had already won the Academy Award, by the way.
Was it comedy?
It was a situation comedy, actually. Yeah.
Fred McMurray.
No. He never won an Academy Award.
Well, you say like I should know that.
He should have.
He was terrific.
Who was the first Best Actor Academy Award winner to have a regular network television show?
What decade was it?
Well, you figure it's going to be the 50s, you know.
Hmm.
And this person had already won the Academy Award.
Gee,
and it was a
situation comedy. Borgnine.
Not Borgnine.
Did he win it for a comedy film?
No, he did not.
Hmm.
But the series was a comedy, but he won it for a drama.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. And it was 50s, huh?
It was 50s. And let's go to a call.
Good evening and hello.
Hello.
This is Brian in Pleasanton.
Hi, Brian.
So we're regarding Monica Vitti.
Yes. Is it Vitti or Vitti? Did I mispronounce
Vitti.
It?
Vitti, I think.
Vitti, I thought. Okay. Go ahead.
She was the star in Modesty Blaze.
She was the star of Modesty Blaze. Yes.
So for a bonus ring.
Yes.
The movie was remade, produced by Quentin Tarantino. And in the original movie, the evil genius was played by Dirk Bogarde.
Right.
Now, I have a guess regarding the oldest trademark.
Okay.
I think it might be the Man in the Moon for Procter & Gamble.
Oh, that's also quite a good guess, but no, it's not.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We love your show out here.
Oh, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Have a great night.
And let's see, if you'd like to join us, we have a 415-841-4134. That's the number. And again, with a question or answer, 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly enjoy bringing it to you. Do you want to each give another guess on the TV show? I'll give you another
No,
guess.
I'm still waiting to give another guess on the product.
You're not going to get that.
Okay.
Gleason, I don't know.
No, okay. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds
Mickey
Over Matter.
Rooney.
No.
You never mind.
Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
This is Doug Ward from Menlo Park.
Hi, Doug.
Marion Davies, Tilly the Toiler.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very good.
Simeon recently.
Very good. So, I'm sorry, did you say you had seen that?
No, I was down at San Simeon just a few weeks ago.
Oh.
And her film career is laid out.
Excellent. It's excellent answer. Yes, Tilly the Toiler, 1927.
I hope you stayed off the carpet. They yell at you if you walk on the carpet.
Oh, I was very careful.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Yes, Marion Davies played Tilly the Toiler. You remember that? You see that, wasn't it?
I remember it.
It was popular at one time.
No, not when I was growing up. But
no?
I think it was before that.
All right.
30s and 40s.
Oh, okay. And Jerry, it's your turn.
According to Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man, what is the only airline that has never had a crash? And I think it still holds.
Oh.
You mean, is this worldwide or United States?
Is it an international airline or it's an international?
That's what you just asked, yes.
I know it's not Aeroflot. The planes crash all the time. I'll say Lufthansa.
No.
Some small country's airline?
I'm not saying.
Yes, you could if you wanted to.
I could, but I'm not.
Okay. Would you call it a major overseas airline? You can tell us that.
Yeah.
All right.
KLM.
No.
Air Canada.
No. Right. You're out of guesses.
All right. Just for that, you're not going to get a guess on the product trademark. And
you were going to give it anyway.
No. Read the question once more, will you?
According to Dustin Hoffman and Rain Man, what is the only airline that has never had a crash?
All right. Oops. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed. How are you?
Hey, Ed. Good.
Very good. So it came out today, actually, that 52% of the U.S. crops have failed. So all of us have to get ready for a very high prices of food in the next many months to come. Of course, because of global warming. So
back to top ramen, I guess.
Yeah, 52%. That is awful. And that includes our state of California that came out in the news today. So what are the most global warming gases that we have? Can you tell me two of them?
Carbon monoxide.
Carbon dioxide.
That's easy. Okay. And what is that? Let's just take another one because we don't have much time today. Next week I'll give you some more.
Carbon monoxide and...
No, carbon dioxide.
Carbon dioxide.
Yeah. Carbon dioxide will kill us all. Carbon dioxide. What is the second one?
And jump in with methane gas.
That's it.
Good job.
Very good. The worst part is methane gas is 10 times as effective in warming Earth than carbon dioxide. And the worst part of it
is
an average cow reduces, cows again, reduces about something in excess of between 80 and 100 liters of methane gas every day.
Mm.
So whenever you eat this nice steak, think of that. We may have to do without meat for a while. So one last question. Nuclear reactors may be an alternative, but we're having a problem with them. There is one gas that's always released, no matter what shift it is. That gas is called nuclear poison because it poisons the reactor. It can actually shut the reactor down. That gas was always released by any nuclear power plant anywhere in the world. Do you know what gas it is?
No.
No.
No,
not.
Helium. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Let's leave it to the audience for next week.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ed. And Steve, it is your turn.
All right. Well, still in honor of the day after Bastille Day, I am looking in honor of the great French director François Truffaut. Name the movie. This was Truffaut's only, this science fiction movie was his only English language film. And Dana, you're ineligible. You know movies backwards and forwards.
And sideways.
This was Truffaut's only English language film. Looking for the name of this Truffaut movie. This was the 1973 best foreign film in which a cat had several chances to get its walk-on performance right.
His only English language film?
No, this is a different film. The only English language film was a science fiction movie. I'm looking for the name of a second movie, which won the Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film in 1973. I'll give you one more. The hero of this Truffaut movie plays an inept soldier, an inept hotel clerk, an inept private detective, and an inept TV repairman. All right. Those are three François Truffaut movies in honor of the day after Bastille Day.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
You asked a question about a French science fiction film with a song or something. Would that be Delicatessen?
No.
Okay.
It's not a French movie. It is a... I'm not saying it's necessarily a French movie. I'm saying that the movie...
Takes place.
Okay. And then the other thing, while I was waiting, the airline, I think, is Qantas. That didn't.
Qantas, correct. Very good.
Oh, excellent. Very good.
I think they might have actually lost that because I think a small fixed wing non-jet went down.
Oh, it did? Okay. Since then. Okay.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Dustin didn't know about that.
Well,
that was after his time.
Since then. After.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, guys. It's Christian driving back from the State Fair in Sacramento.
Oh. Okay.
So I'm going to guess, take a shot at the person that won the Academy Award then had a television situation comedy.
Right.
I'm going to guess Bob Cummings.
He definitely had a situation comedy, but he never won an Academy Award.
Is that right? Okay, well.
Good guess,
By the way, and Jerry, you stole my thunder on Little Mermaid. There you go.
Okay.
Thank you.
There you go. Thanks a lot, though. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, this is Ann in Moran.
Hi, Ann.
I have a guess on the Ain't She Sweet song. Could that have been Midnight in Paris?
It was Midnight in Paris.
Oh, okay.
Well done.
Well, guess on Truffaut, is that the Day of the Triffids?
No, it was not Day of the Triffids.
Day of the what?
Day of the Triffids. That was a good
science fiction movie, but that was not by him.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. No, he didn't direct that. David.
And you're sure that the Little Mermaid's photographed more than the Statue of Liberty? I mean, who stands there and counts people taking pictures of statues?
According to Flickr, which keeps track of these things, supposedly, yes.
A lot of our questions are very hard to
know. Dubious.
Yeah. I found it online, so it has to be true.
Mr. Dubious.
and next call. Hi, you're on. Minds Ever Matter. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello, this is Carrie and Helen in Palo Alto. I have a guess on the airline. Is that Qantas?
Yeah, somebody got it, but you got it too.
We'll give you a bill.
Very good.
Okay, perfect.
Qantas.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Let's run a quick question. What is Mr. Clean's first name?
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute. Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it. Mr. Clean... The song doesn't have his name in it.
You must have been good at filling up a blue book with unnecessary babble.
Is it is it alliterative? Like Clarence Clean, Clancy Clean or something?
No.
Not alliterative. Okay.
So you're going to start guessing names and none of them are going to be right. And this is a waste of time with 6 minutes left in the show, Jerry.
Well, after having just sung the song, I wonder who...
Yeah, who wasted more time?
Yeah.
So what is Mr. Clean's first name, the character, Mr.
Charlie.
Clean? No.
That's alliterative.
That's Tuna.
No, he said it's Charlie isn't. Tuna. He said it is not alliterative.
It is not alliterative.
Yes, but you just said Charlie.
Yeah, I know, but that's not alliterative. Okay. No. I don't know.
All right.
It has to be something a little more dignified, I think.
It's unusual, and it is a little more...
Like Percival, like Percy
no,
Peanut.
It's not what you would consider a proper name ordinarily.
Oh, it isn't.
It's not.
Oh, well.
It's not a name that other people have?
I personally don't know anybody with this name.
Okay.
So. Squeaky.
Squeaky. Well, you're more on the right track.
That's good. Yeah. Very good.
He's thinking outside the box, and of
that's
course you
great.
Two
that's
are thinking
you have to, yeah.
very much inside
squeaky
the box.
Squeaky clean. That's good.
Yeah, excellent.
And,
I think
but
it
no.
should be.
And but you're closest. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, hi. I had a question. I mean, answer for the Truffaut.
Yes.
Was that Fahrenheit 451?
It was Fahrenheit 451.
Course,
well
course.
Done, John.
And then the 73, you were asking about the Academy Award winner. Was that Day for Night?
It was Day for Night. Congratulations.
Good job.
Okay. And then I had a question. Maybe I misunderstood your question about the fatalities during World War II. You were saying there was only like one fatality stateside?
Oh, no, that was our one of our callers who had the question of where were the only fatalities in the continental United States during the war.
Because there was also the Port Chicago thing?
Right, but I mean, I think he meant inflicted by enemy action.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? Sorry about that. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Yeah, it's Robert from San Francisco.
Hi, Robert. Go ahead.
Yeah, is it Jackie Gleason who was the Academy Award winner?
No, he was not an Academy Award winner. And, of course, Jackie Gleason did have a show, and it was a situation comedy, The Honeymooners, but that's not the one I'm looking for.
And was Mr. Clean the trademark, the oldest one?
That is not the oldest one, no.
Oh, well.
No, thank you.
Did you say it was a male or female character?
Which? What are you talking about?
The sitcom actor. Who
it is a male actor, yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's why I said yes.
I was going to say Shirley Booth.
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Stuart in San Francisco.
Hi, Stuart.
Bill McMurray? Is that his name?
Fred McMurray. I guessed him, no.
But he didn't win an Academy Award, though.
Oh, I thought he got something for Double Indemnity or something.
No. Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
All right. He should have, yeah.
What was his show, My Three Sons?
My Three Sons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi. This is Warren in Oakland.
Hi, Warren.
And I think the Academy Award-winning actor with the TV show was... it's either Ray Milland or Ronald Coleman.
It is Ray Milland. He was the first.
Oh, yeah. What was the show?
It was Meet Mr. McNulty.
Mr. McNulty.
I think I know who this is.
Did you get Day for Night for the Truffaut film?
Yes.
Okay.
But we're still looking for the other one in which the hero is an inept soldier, hotel clerk, private detective, and TV repairman. Does that ring a bell for you?
Yeah, it's probably one of the series that he did, but I don't remember which one it might be.
It is. You're right. You're right. I'll give you a hint. It's one of the Antoine Doinel pictures.
Right. Right now, they've all gone out of my mind.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, time to clean up here. What do we got?
What character in Through the Looking Glass is a self-portrait of the author Lewis Carroll?
Is it The White Knight, by any chance?
It is The White Knight.
All right.
He just got in under the wire.
Right. Chess piece. Okay.
Now, I want to throw out a guess on it.
You will when we get back. All right. Go ahead. Right. Was that it for you? I'm sorry, Jerry.
Yeah, that is it.
And the Truffaut movie in which the hero plays an inept soldier, hotel clerk, inept detective, and an inept TV repairman with stolen kisses.
All right.
Oh, I already guessed that. That was another answer.
Incorrect in another question?
No, that was correct on the other.
All right.
Yes. Mr. Clean's first name is Veritably. Veritably clean. And the oldest non-food product trademark character in the U.S. is the Arm & Hammer arm.
Oh.
It is the arm of Vulcan, by the way. That is about, that's what
I was
going to
guess.
How can you tell from just an arm?
Well,
I was going to guess the Dutch cleanser girl.
The actress who played roles based on comic strips, we got all of them except Mary Pickford, and that was she played Little Annie Rooney. If you want any of the others repeated, you can just send me an email and I'll be glad to give those to you. Will, let's see. What do we have anything that Will wasn't identified?
No, I think you got everything.
Okay. All right. If we did not get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. So we do hope you enjoyed the show. We certainly enjoyed bringing it to you. Our panel tonight was author Jerry Nachman, teacher and writer Steve Rubenstein, and of course his son Will, the talented student at Oberlin College in Ohio. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and our thanks to, of course, Kevin Vance and Steve Wilcott rallying the board and phones, and above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Bye-bye.
If it ain't this, you can't miss. It's got to be your brother. Can't you?